remember years ago, Jonathan Zocco was like 12 years old, and he said something like this, which he was a kid, but it was pretty profound. He said, "I just dread Sunday. Sunday we have to get up in the morning when we are too tired and we don't want to get up. And then we go to church and we come home, and then we have to lay back down and take a nap when we don't want to lay down. And then we go to sleep, and then we get woke up again and have to get woke up when we don't want to get woke up." And so his perspective was that Sunday was a hard day and that it was a burden. I think sometimes we think of the Sabbath or the Lord's Day, we think of it as somewhat of a burden. We think of it as something of all these restrictions. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go there, you can't, all the things that the commandment says you are not to do on that day. And I think the real problem is that we're looking at it from the totally wrong perspective. We're not to look at this fourth commandment as to all the things that God says not to do, but we're to look at it as the things that God commands us to do. And how that this day is to be a day that's blessed, that it's sanctified or hallowed, it's set apart as a special day unto the Lord, to give praise to God, to celebrate, to rest, and to reflect upon the faithfulness of the Lord. He blessed the Sabbath and he hallowed it. It's a special day, and it is to be a holy day. Now, the other extreme is that some look at it as a burden. Others, the other extreme is that they look at the Lord's Day like any other day. It's just another day, like any other day of the week. And, you know, you mow your grass, you do whatever you want to do on that day, you go shopping, or you treat it like any other day. That's the other extreme, and that's not pleasing to the Lord either. For us to look at the Sabbath day and the Lord's day from those extremes. But I do believe that there's been a change over the last several generations. There's been this moving away from what God wants to say and how God wants us to look at the Sabbath day and the Lord's day. Our grandfathers, they called it the Holy Sabbath, or our great-grandfathers. Our grandfathers called it the Sabbath. Our fathers call it Sunday, and now most people just call it the weekend. It's just the weekend. So there's been this change, this moving away from what God intended it to be, and to making this day just like any other day. That isn't pleasing to the Lord, and it's certainly not pleasing to the Lord whenever we make the Lord's day a burden. God never intended that the Sabbath be a burden. Amen. It's not a burden. It's a blessing. Amen. It is a day that is a gift from God. And so we are to look at it from that that perspective. That's really the spirit of the Sabbath. We don't look at it as a burden. We look at it as the blessing that God intended for the Sabbath day to be. Amen. Now the word Sabbath just means rest or to cease from labor. Now a lot of people think, well, I don't understand why that's really important. Why, you know, why is it that there's such a deal made about it? Well, you have to remember, we live in such a different society, such a different world than when these commandments were given. Remember, God gave these commandments to Moses, to this great number, the children of Israel that had just been delivered from Egyptian bondage. And they had been in that bondage for hundreds of years. And you know what they did while they were in bondage? They worked. They labored. From sun up to sundown, 7 days a week. There was no such thing as a day of rest. They lived in an Egyptian culture that didn't believe at all in any of the principles that the Jews followed. And so they just worked. They just labored. It became such a hard burden upon them. They cried out, and by reason of their cries out to God, that God sent Moses the deliverer to set them free. And the deliverer became the lawgiver who ascended up to the mount and came down with these commandments. And this commandment to them certainly was not a burden. I can just imagine them saying things like, you mean we get a whole day? One day we get an entire day that we don't have to labor and work? An entire day that just belongs to God? And it's just a time. Can you imagine the celebration whenever they recognized the blessing of the Sabbath, that we don't have to labor every day? Amen. So the Sabbath was intended to be a rest, a ceasing from your labors, ceasing from your normal activities and responsibilities, so that you can give focus to God and to the things of the Lord. Now, God instituted this. You can go back to other places in the scripture, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, I believe it is, where God established the first Sabbath, and the Bible says that God did all the work of his hands in creation, and then he established the Sabbath day, and he sanctified it, he hallowed it, he set apart this day as a day. Now, did God need a rest day? No. God doesn't get weary or tired. God does. Isaiah 40 says that he does not faint, neither is he weary. So what was it? It was a commemoration of the week. It was a celebration of all of the hand of God. As he stood back and he viewed all of creation, he said, it's good every day. It's good. It's good. It's very good. And the Sabbath was a day that he set aside, and he instituted the Sabbath as a day to stop and to reflect, to look back, and to be grateful. I think that if there's what we should understand about the Sabbath or the Lord's Day for us New Testament Christians, that we understand that this is a day that we look back to the week, and we see the hand of God in our life, and we reflect upon how God provided for us, or he protected us, or he took care of us, or he strengthened us, or in so many ways that we need to stop and reflect. We live in a world that is in such a big hurry, and we need a Sabbath. We need a Sunday. We need a Lord's Day, so that we cease from all of the rush of our regular days and our regular activities, and we give that day to the Lord. In the scripture, there were many, many different Sabbaths, but one of the Sabbaths was the agricultural Sabbath, that they were to, every 6 years, set aside a year and let the land have an opportunity to restore itself and to replenish itself. And this was a commandment of God for them to do this. Let's read in Leviticus 26, verse 32. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate. And as you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when you dwelt upon it. This was really a prophetic word as to what was going to happen to the people of God whenever they neglected. For 490 years, they neglected to follow the principle of the Sabbath of their land. And so God said, after 490 years, okay, then I'm just going to pick you up, and I'm going to allow you to be taken into captivity. And those 70 years of the 490, those years belonged to the Lord. You should have allowed the land to rest during those years. So I'm going to lead you away to captivity. And he said, while you're there in captivity, then I'm going to get my Sabbath. And during those 70 years, and we know that they were led away into captivity for 70 years, and those years were the years that God was saying, I am getting and giving the land the Sabbath that I commanded for it to have. So I'll just suggest to you today that if you refuse to give God his day, God will get his day one way or the other. Amen. You might as well honor the Lord with his day, with the Lord's day. and give it to the Lord and serve the Lord on the Sabbath day. And we know that there's confusion about the Jewish Sabbath and do we practice that? If we did, we would have been here yesterday instead of today. So we understand that we do not do that. So what happened? What changed all of this centuries of worshiping on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, which would start Friday night and end Saturday night at sundown? What happened that could break through all of these rigid laws of the Sabbath that had been established? How could that have ever have been changed? Well, we know that when Jesus was born, the Bible says that he was born and made under the law. He was born under the law. And we also know that Jesus said himself, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. The Bible also says that Jesus would go into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he did that, as was his custom. It was his pattern on the Sabbath. So he submitted himself to the law of the Sabbath. But something changed all of that. Amen. And you know, the problem, you know, all throughout the New Testament, you'll read of the conflicts that Jesus had with the Pharisees. And one of the biggest areas of conflict was the Sabbath. But it wasn't because Jesus was dishonoring the Sabbath, as I already described. He honored the Sabbath. And he worshiped on the Sabbath. And he didn't come to destroy the law, but rather to fulfill the law. So what changed? Well, out of the commandment that I read to you in the text there from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11, there's something like 39 words in that fourth commandment. It would vary a little bit in the original Hebrew. But the Pharisees and the different ones of the religious crowd, they developed their own explanation of the laws of the Sabbath. They came up with something like 1,521 additions to. They all related to things you cannot do on the Sabbath that is not at all listed in the commandment of God's word. They were adding to the commandment, that fourth commandment, things such as if a person was drowning, you couldn't rescue them on the Sabbath day. If a fly or a flea was tormenting you, you couldn't swat at it on the Sabbath day. You couldn't rescue an animal on the Sabbath day. Rule after rule after rule that they made up. You see, the problem was they were trying to follow the law of the Sabbath, but they were missing out on the spirit of the Sabbath. That God intended it to be a day of blessing. That's why when we come together to worship the Lord, it should never be a down in the mouth, discouraged, you know, boring time. It should be a time that we're rejoicing, we're praising, we're celebrating, we're enjoying our time in the presence of God. We're enjoying our time around the Word of God as it's taught, as it's preached. We enjoy one another in fellowship. It's all a part of the Sabbath that God intended it to be a day of blessing. Amen. Now that's the way I grew up. I grew up looking forward to Sunday. And, I looked forward to it. I was taught how important it was, and we were always there. We never missed. We were always in the house of God, and I didn't dread it. I looked forward to it. As a young person, I would see my friends there. It was there that I learned songs. I learned a lot of things that have affected my entire life. Lifetime friends I met in church. People that God used to direct my life, to counsel me and to bless me. That I carry that on as a legacy down through the years of my life. And it all happened on the Lord's Day. Hallelujah. And praise God for how God uses it. So Jesus actually observed the Sabbath, but he did not observe all those man-made ideas about this. So that's why he got into all this controversy and these problems with the religious crowd. And in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Jesus said, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." Amen. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so this day is to all of us New Testament Christians, What was it that changed? Well, Jesus died on the cross. They put him in a tomb. He came up out of the tomb. And then from that very moment, everything that is related to the church or the New Testament Christians, everything switched. There had to be something powerful and dramatic that would cause all of these New Testament Christians who had been Jews and had practiced the Sabbath to somehow to automatically change over to worshiping on Sunday. Something big happened. What was it? It was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he came out of the tomb, and as a result, that was a day everything was changed as a result of Christ coming out of the tomb. This was the dramatic event that took place resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday. They gathered in the upper room on Sunday. And I can give you scripture references, but I just don't have time this morning. They gathered in the upper room on Sunday. The Great Commission was given on the Lord's Day. The day of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, was on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Paul preached on the first day of the week. They partook of communion, the Lord's Supper, on the first day of the week. In Corinthians, they brought their offerings together on the first day of the week. John, who received his revelation, the Bible says that he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. So the New Testament Sabbath is Sunday. It's the first day of the week. And it's appropriate because we know that as tithers, we bring the first fruits of what God gives to us. Our tithe the Bible says it belongs to the Lord. And so it's a worship. It's a reminder. God has given me strength and ability to earn this money. And he's given it to me. So I bring my tithe. And on the first day of the week. And now, I'm not going to fall out with you if you pay your tithes on Wednesday. Or, another day of the week. Or if you do it online or however. But the Bible just says that their practice was on the first day of the week to bring their tithe to the Lord and to bring them to the storehouse. And just as we pay our tithe, we also give the first. Everything is to be following the principles of the first fruits. As a reminder that everything that he gives to us, he gets the first of it. They did that with their crops. They did that with their animals. And we are to do it with our time and with our week. We are to give him the Sunday, the first day of the week, is our tithe to the Lord for that week. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we talk about the spirit of the Sabbath. We know that we're not under this burden, this burden of you got to do this, or you can't do that, and you can't go there, and you can't do this thing. And we're not under that burden of the Sabbath. Our perspective is, we understand the spirit of the Sabbath is all the things that we get to do. All the wonderful things that we are allowed to do and we're encouraged to do on the Sabbath. And you can see it from the commandment. First of all, four words we're going to draw out of this. The first word is the word remember. Remember. The Jews had all throughout the scripture in the Old Testament, the Jews had many, many, many things as remembrances. God would give to them sometimes visible things, actual feast days, different things that were to be reminders to them. They would build up a heap of stones so they could tell the next generation, this is where God delivered us and brought us across the Jordan. Everything was symbolic that God knew that the tendency was to be forgetful. Our tendency in our flesh is to be forgetful. And so the Lord's Day is a day that we come together, we set everything, we cease everything else, we stop from all of our other activities, and we just stop and we remember the goodness of God, the blessing of God, the favor of God. And we have a weekly opportunity to do that, to stop from our labors and to remember all of the remembrances in the Old Testament. For you and I, God intended that the Sabbath be for us and the Lord's Day to be for us a time of remembrance, a reminder to us that we should remember God's faithfulness. Hallelujah. Amen. Anytime you get out on the highway and drive on the interstate, you don't go very far, but you don't see accidents. You see all kinds of things. So as you reflect upon your week, you think, Lord, that could have been me. I could have been in the middle of that accident. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. And you can, when you begin to think through your days and think through, yesterday, Erica and Kyle were on some kind of a chapel event, and they were walking on a trail, and Erica almost stepped on a copperhead that was about 5 or 6 feet long and just almost stepped upon it. So, you know, I can just say today, thank you, Lord. You are watching over our daughter, keeping her from harm. And on the Lord's Day, we remember, we reflect on all of the blessings of the week and all the things that God has done for us in our life. Amen. That's what testimonies are about. Amen. This should never be down and out, discouraging, depressing. It should always be words that lift up the Lord. How that God has blessed you, how that he has saved you, how he has helped you and delivered you and provided for you. And on the Lord's Day, we stop. And you have to stop to reflect. You have to cease from your regular routine to really take the time to reflect upon the goodness of God, the favor of God. Genesis 2 and 1, thus saith, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all of his work which he had created and made. Hallelujah. So we remember. Amen. We all need to do that. We all need to do that. Stop. Amen. It's not that anyone's going to come along and say to you, oh, you can't do that. This is the Lord's Day. Oh, you shouldn't be doing that. But instead, I really believe that the spirit of the Sabbath is this, that instead we take the perspective, oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for this week. Thank you that you've watched over us. Thank you for your wonderful provision. That really should be the perspective that we should have as to the Lord's Day. A day to reflect upon the week and upon the goodness of God. To thank God for his strength and for his provision. Amen. Isaiah 58 and verse 13 and 14. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight. You see what God intended for the Sabbath to be? He never intended it to be 1,520 rules. He intended for the Sabbath to be a blessing. He intended it for it to be a delight. He also intended it for it to be about him. While he blesses us with the Sabbath, he also sanctified it, which means he set it apart to be not like every other ordinary day. Amen? It's a special day. Not like the rest of the days of the week. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasures on my holy day. You know, the things that seem to, you know, be about you, your pleasures. The things that, you know, what I want to do, what I want to fill my time with, what I want to fill up my life with. Instead of that, stop what you're normal. You have 6 days of the week, and you can fill those days up with many different types of activities. But on Sunday, the Lord's Day, it's a day to serve God, to worship God. It's his holy day. He called the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. You understand the spirit of it? What God is saying is that he intends it to be a delight, a blessing, something that God uses as a gift to all of us. And I really believe that if we, I believe it with the tithe, as far as your financial gifts, your tithing, I believe that if you give God the 10%, God always makes the 90% go and take care of. And I've had people say, I can't really afford to tithe. Should I tithe if I can't afford it? You know, you can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. The right thing to do is to put God first. Right. with what God has blessed you with. And the same thing is true. I've witnessed people who were able, through their 6 days of labor, that they were able to make. And God would honor those days and provide for them in supernatural ways so they could set that day aside. Just a few days ago, this founder of Chick-fil-A, who is a multiplied billionaire, passed away. He started his business with several Christian principles, and one of them was he closed his restaurant on Sunday. Everyone would say, that is a foolish business decision, but not for Mr. Cathy. For him, he closed it down, he honored the Lord, he played Christian music, and he taught his employees to be kind. Amen. I tell you what, it's like a breath of fresh air to go in there sometimes. You hear them talking so polite. It's my pleasure. And I know they've been trained, but I still like to hear it. Because I'm tired of people throwing my change at me. And it's just kind of refreshing. But I know it all sprung out of his love for God. And his business grew and grew and grew as he stood for important principles. I believe that is such an important principle that if you'll give God his day, make it a delight unto the Lord. If you will do that, God will give you his favor, his blessing. That's what it says in the verse there. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Amen. It's a promise of God. Give the day to God. Amen. Honor the Lord. Set aside all of your other activity. It's to be a day that you remember. It's to be a holy day that you sanctify. You set it apart. It's a day not like other days, but a day that is a special day. A third thing that is a principle that's clearly identified in this commandment is the principle of work. The principle of work. Whoa. I'm out of time. I feel bad about this, but I'm gonna finish up. Hang with me now. Just a few more minutes here. Work. Work is an important thing. Work is established by God. It's a principle. 6 days you shall work, a command of God. It's a part of it. It's established by God. It's honorable. It's the right thing to work. Someone said, if you choose a job you love, you will never have to work another day in your life. I think it's a wonderful thing. Find your place. God intends that work be a lot of things, but he provides it to be a place and a time where you can use the gifts that he has given to you so that you can accomplish the things on your daily work schedule. You can accomplish things and receive fulfillment. God intended work not to be a laborer and not to be something burdensome to you, but something that you use your gifts, your talents, your callings, and you do it for the glory of God. Amen. It is not a curse. Some say, well, but doesn't the Bible say that because Adam sinned, that he had to work by the sweat of his face? But no, God had already established the whole principle of work even before the fall and before the curse. He had put them in the garden to dress the garden and to take care of it. It wasn't a burden, it was a blessing. It was a gift to them to be able to spend their days with fulfillment and accomplishment according to the plan of God for their life. Amen. So work is an honorable thing. Sad to say, in our country today, there are a lot of people that... I read the percentages the other day, and I couldn't find it, but the percentages of people that are on government assistance in the state of Kentucky, it's unbelievable. I know it's more than 50% of the population of our state is on some form of government assistance. Now, I think it's wonderful whenever there is a situation where you need it. You absolutely have to have it. I understand that. But when there are those that would rather not work, there was a generation, a former generation, that you would have to say to them, okay, you're going to have to take a day off now. You're going to have to cool it. You're working all the time. You're going to have to stop. But now there's a generation that's now, I'm sorry, younger folks, I don't mean to be jumping on you, but I just know I come in contact with this younger generation enough to know that You don't have to say, take a rest day. You have to say, get a job. Get a job. Get a full-time job. Work. Work. And it's a principle in the word of the Lord. I'm going to have to stop here. But let me just close with this. Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath day. He ministered to the poor on the Sabbath day. His disciples were walking through a cornfield, were hungry, and they plucked corn and they ate on the Sabbath day. The Lord's day is to be a day, as I've already said, of remembering. It's to be a day of fellowship, a day of worship, a day of focus upon the Lord, upon His Word, on the study of His Word, a day of spiritual rest, physical rest, a day to restore yourself. Now, understand, there are some situations people, they have to work on Sunday. They have no choice. We have medical personnel, emergency personnel that, you know, we would get upset if we needed their help and they weren't there. I understand that. Even preachers, it's a bigger day for preachers throughout the week. And over the years, when I was a young man, I would preach in the morning. We'd go to a nursing home service in the afternoon, and then we'd have church at night. But I don't think I could do that anymore. I pretty well feel like I've been run over by a Mack truck by about 9 o'clock on Sunday night. I feel whipped and worn out, and don't have much to offer. But I do know this much: I do know that this day belongs to the Lord. Amen. This day belongs to the Lord. And I challenge you. I challenge you, put it to the test. Prove the Lord. Give this day to God. Give the other 6 days of the week to your other work and labor and responsibilities, and see if God will not keep His word. He will. The spirit of the Sabbath is to make it a different day than the rest of the six. A spiritual day, a day of rest, a day of remembrance, a day of fellowship, a day to minister to people in their needs. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the Lord's day. And I thank you, Lord, that we can be here together today on this Lord's day. And how blessed that we are. And Lord, I understand, Lord, that this day is a gift from you. And I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for those in this service who see the value of it. And Lord, that they want to serve you. They want to live for you. And they want to take advantage of this blessed day. This day that is to be a delight that God has given us. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that each one in this service this morning would recognize the importance of honoring you with our life, every part of our life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Amen.